Welcome to our podcast, As a Matter of Black. I'm Bowie.
And this is Bali. What's going
on? So we're back with another episode. Not necessarily under the best circumstances. I was kind of having a pretty okay day, I would say. And then this very interesting notification came to my phone about Breonna Taylor. And I guess something about the grand jury, like a grand jury indictment on behalf of the officer, you know, involved in the officer shooting involving Breonna Taylor, where she was, you know, killed by a police officer during the execution of a no-knock warrant in Louisville, Kentucky, like back in May or something. And so the indictment is not what people, I think, expected. People were hoping and looking for and anticipating a murder indictment, you know, that would directly affect the police officers who shot her and killed her during that incident. But some strange indictment or decision was made on her behalf, and I don't even understand like what exactly it means. But apparently it wasn't charging the officers for her death, but it was charging the officers for endangering other people that maybe weren't even in the apartment. Did you see something about this?
Yeah. You basically just said what it was. It was an indictment on wantonly endangerment. And it's very broad, and it's not even a law that is in place everywhere. I mean, in this instance, it's very particular to Kentucky. So, you know, this indictment had nothing to do with Breonna Taylor. It's basically all about, you know, the other apartment that bullets went through that apartment as well. Because if you look at the indictment, it lists the victims by initial, and nobody has the initial BT.
Mm.
And so it's a Class D felony, carries a penalty between 1 to 5 years. And it basically just explains that an officer wantonly shot a gun. And when you talk about wantonly endangerment, it's basically you can get this charge for basically shooting warning shots. You can get this type of charge for shooting in somebody's direction. This is the type of charge that you would be maybe looking at for getting caught shooting your gun on New Year's Eve in the air.
Mm.
Saying so, it's a number of situations that it could be you could get charged with this, you know what I'm saying? Most time you hear about it in Kentucky, it's going to involve basically somebody shooting warning shots. If there's a domestic dispute and somebody picks up a gun and back somebody off of them and they shoot it, you know, they can wantonly endanger the charge, you know what I'm saying? If a drug deal go bad, that's something else. And even you can get a wantonly endangerment charge in Kentucky for driving somebody off the road in a DUI situation, or driving while intoxicated or under the influence, and you have passengers in particular, like, you know, saying small children, this is the type of charge that it is. So it basically has nothing to do with Breonna Taylor. It's all about the officer who fired the gun, and he, I guess, was firing the gun to the point where he was just reckless and he shot into somebody else's apartment that was nearby. And so those are the victims that were listed by initial in this indictment. So, you know, this is not any type of justice for Breonna Taylor. And, you know, true justice is, you know, saying have somebody getting their life back, which can't happen. But in the criminal justice world, in the court world or whatever, justice would be this officer facing the consequences for murdering these three officers. I'm sorry, three officers for facing the consequences for murdering Breonna Taylor and endangering the life of Kenneth Walker, her boyfriend at the time. So
definitely. From what I understand, it seems to be some, you know, outrage in Louisville, Kentucky. There was a state of emergency declared, and people are still sort of just outraged by the circumstances, like the actual circumstance of Breonna Taylor being murdered, but then the aftermath of it too, which, you know what I'm saying, I really don't blame them. I think a lot of people sort of share their same feelings and just have these like horrible, you know, guttural emotional responses to what we have seen play out, you know, after this incident. And then after this incident, and at this moment in time, like, nobody has to be reminded that we are, you know, living right now, like, in the middle of a pandemic, and while people are trying to survive and, you know what I'm saying, just stay afloat from losing their jobs and, you know, maintaining a healthy immune system so that they don't fall victim to the coronavirus. Apparently people are still having to, you know, somehow protect themselves from murdering police officers who deem it okay to inflict bodily harm and pain onto Black people still in 2020. And so, you know, it's really just disappointing for me, you know, as a Black woman. I definitely saw myself in Breonna Taylor, like physically saw myself in her, and really spent, you know, weeks kind of not really being able to sleep and having like really bad paranoia moments about people entering my apartment, you know, and sort of facing victims to some of the same things, because all of us are essentially, you know, none the wiser to situations like this. People could be minding their business, and in Breonna Taylor's case, she could be home asleep, you know what I'm saying, comfortable in her bed, and have officers burst into her house with a no-knock warrant and take her life with impunity, because these officers, you know, face no consequences for their actions. And that's not okay. One of the things that was also really upsetting and disappointing was this price tag that they put on her life in the form of a settlement, which I think was awarded last week, I believe. It was a $12 million settlement, a wrongful death settlement. And that was also very frustrating because, you know, I see the life of someone like Breonna Taylor, like I see the life of, you know, one of my girlfriends, like I see the life of myself, and I would never put a price tag of any amount of money. No amount of millions of dollars is worth my life or the lives of any Black person, male or female, in this world, you know what I'm saying? And so that was one of the other very frustrating things. But, you know, it's interesting enough that the settlement amounts have been the the norm, you know what I'm saying? It's been the status quo. Once someone is murdered by the police throw out a settlement and people are supposed to be okay with that. And it's supposed to maybe be symbolic for some form of like celebration. But I say that like no amount of money is worth the amount of Black bodies, the amount of potential, the legacy, you know what I'm saying, the influence that Black people could have had, would they still be alive today and not killed at the hands of police officers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even when people, you know, look at these settlements that we get in these situations where unarmed people are killed and murdered, brutalized, victimized by the police, you know, we got to realize that I think some people kind of find some, not a form of justice in this, but I think they feel some type of way about the fact that, like, if you can't get the guilty verdict, they can't get life in prison for doing this type of stuff as police officers, law enforcement officers, then, you know, so you think about, people think about that civil suit like it's the only other option. And, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, if you can't get them that way, you know what I'm saying, people want to see some justice being delivered in the form of like, well, you know, maybe we should, you know, get some money out of the police department for what they did. That money is, that money doesn't come from the police department. The money that these cities pay back, that's taxpayer money. And so when you look at it, like, you know what I'm saying, the money that these people get out of these settlements comes directly from the taxpayer's pocket. This doesn't defund the police department in any type of way. You know, this doesn't change their policies and their procedures. You know, it's the equivalent of, you know what I'm saying, it's the equivalent of you basically getting something taken from you and then the thief comes and offers to sell it back to you and you happily buy it back.
Accept it, yeah.
Or accept it or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, you know, and it's not, I mean, I'm not throwing any shade at Breonna Taylor's family, you know what I'm saying? Please send all the love and support to them because, you know what I'm saying, that her family, her friends knew and loved her before she became a hashtag. So mm-hmm. No shade to the family and the friends for, you know, the civil suit. But, you know what I'm saying, people have to understand that, like, you know, the reason why so much talk about defunding the police is because when things like this happen, this is the money that they use. It's the taxpayer money that they're using to set of these wrongful death suits. But what is it really when you can win? What does it really mean in the grand scheme of things when you can win a wrongful death lawsuit, a civil suit against the police department, against the city, and then the attorney general and the state and everybody could come right back around a week later and say they were justified in using that death lethal force?
Right.
On one end, you say that this was definitely a wrongful death. You should be compensated for all of the pain that you've gone through by losing a loved one. You know, they can justify giving you that money, but they can also justify the use of lethal force in the situation. It doesn't make any type of sense, you know. And that's, you know, that's like the epitome of like American justice sometimes. Sometimes a lot of times it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, you know. But yeah, that's crazy. And you talked about, you know, and state of emergency. Well, they declared a state of emergency on Monday.
Okay.
Before they even announced this.
Mm.
They were boarding up buildings in preparation for this announcement, even though they said they didn't know when the announcement would come on Monday, they said that they were boarding up buildings. They had already told all the officers for the Louisville Police Department that all vacation time and time off requests were going to be denied. So, you know, they weren't allowing any of the, they already told all the officers, they warned them. They said, if you put in time right now, and while the state of emergency is going on, you just lost your vacation time. You know, you have to come to work. You cannot take off. You have to work your shifts. They were prepared for the BS. You know what I'm saying? They were preparing for the BS because they knew that this indictment would not be any form of justice.
Yeah. And I think the thing that's upsetting is just like the blatant disrespect, like you mentioned, sort of, you mentioned the, this, I don't want, I guess, double standard. It's not really the word I'm looking for, but you just sort of mentioned like this, I guess this double-edged sword where it's like, oh, there's a wrongful death, but the person or the persons that were responsible for this wrongful death, you know, walk away, like I said earlier, without consequence. And the issue with that is, you know, these individuals who were staying on this, on the force and are staying employed without any kind of reprimand or without anything that would suggest that, like, hey, you did something wrong, or hey, you acted, you know, poorly, or you made a very poor decision, it's just license for them to continue to do it. And, you know, we see this kind of stuff all the time. You know, officers have all kinds of incidents before, they got all kind of documented incidences in the past, like dealing with people, and then they really, they're not reprimanded, and they get, they're put back, they're still on the force, still behaving the same way that they were behaving. And then, you know, all of a sudden, like, there's a police shooting, and then people pull all these documents and all these records of just like their poor behavior from the past. And I think that's what, that's the biggest issue. It's just that if officer involved shootings aren't taken seriously, and they aren't investigated properly, and they aren't, and officers aren't being reprimanded or fired for this sort of incident, then it's just license for it to continue, for it to continue to happen. And the indictment is just blatantly disrespectful because, like you mentioned before, it has nothing to do with Breonna Taylor. Just the people in the next apartment who are alive and well, like, I mean, you know, no shade. Like, I'm sure their lives were in danger. There's bullets flying through your fucking apartment, and, you know, it has nothing to do with you. You probably, they was probably at home sleep too. But those people are alive and well. And the issue itself are the people that burst into this apartment complex, you know, for no reason, shooting live bullets at innocent people who had nothing to do with, you know, whatever it is they were looking for that day. And so I just think that's just the biggest, like, slap in the face. And this concept of anti-Black racism is so, so, so prevalent these days. You know what I'm saying? Like, we as Black people, like, we are strong and we are resilient people. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have so many things going for us, but then at the same time, we have that many more things coming against us. And for me, I just want to just kind of give a message to just, like, Black people that, like, despite what you see on TV and the issues that are at hand, the blatant disrespect of Black lives all over this country and all over this world, the fact that people try to pull the wool over your eyes with these concepts, these, you know, major corporations that put out statements and give you t-shirts and give you logos, but won't hire Black people, at the executive level won't pay, you know, higher wages to Black people at their companies. Like, despite those sorts of things, despite the media and everything around you telling you that, like, did you not it? Like, Black people are it. Like, Black people set the trends, you know what I'm saying? Black people are strong people. We come from a lineage of strong people. And despite the fact that we feel powerless, the power is most definitely within us. And I just want to commend anybody and everybody that's out there, you know, trying to make a difference and make a change in their world and in their community. Everybody out there that's becoming a knowledgeable and informed citizen so they can make the best decisions for themselves and those around them that they love and they care about. The people that are rallying and protesting and being resistant against the system that supports and perpetuates anti-Black racism. Shout out to all of y'all too, because at the end of the day, you know, it really is us. Like, all we really got is us. And unfortunately, you know, it's us that's going to get us out of these situations. Only God knows when, but that's just my message to people, to Black people, any Black person under the sound of my voice. That's my message to you.
Appreciate you. You know, it's crazy, man, you know, with all of this that went on today as far as with this decision, you know what I'm saying, and just seeing this pattern continue, you know, every time you hear about these incidents where it's basically a police murder going on, you know what I'm saying? You try to be optimistic and you hope that, you know, there's some type of, you still try to have some type of faith in humanity that things will, you know what I'm saying, start moving in a direction where it's, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be some change in the system. And, you know, I mean, just like, you know, like clockwork, man, it's like something, it's always something new, it's another trick in the bag, you know, and that's, man, you know, and I hate to be that guy, man, you know what I'm saying, that you know, I'm not going to say I hate to be the guy. Man, I know this don't fix everything.
Yeah.
I know it don't fix everything, but man, this is another reason why it's important to vote. You know what I'm saying? When they were interviewing the Attorney General Daniel Cameron, who is rumored to be on a short list of candidates for President Trump's nominees for Supreme Court justice since Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. This guy is supposed to be on that short list of the next U.S. Supreme Court justice. And he's the Attorney General for the state of Kentucky. You know, the first Black Attorney General, and he's also a Republican. So, yeah, man, you definitely, it matters who you vote for, man, you know what I'm saying? It matters because he's the type of person that makes these decisions, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The prosecutors came to him and asked, when the reporters today asked him, did any prosecutors recommend charges for any three of the officers, and they asked him that, he refused to answer it. So, you know, I look at it like this, you know what I'm saying? The fact that he couldn't even be upfront and be transparent about whether or not these prosecutors, you know what I'm saying, even recommended the charges, man, you know what I'm saying, you know, he couldn't even be that decent. And so that's why I say, like, you know, people, I'm pretty sure people were actually probably celebrating when Kentucky, some black people in particular, I'm saying, when Kentucky got their first black attorney general. And now people are quickly finding out that, you know what I'm saying, all skin folk ain't your kin folk. You know what I'm saying? But voting, you know what I'm saying, is just one of the tools that you have just to fight in this fight for liberation for all the marginalized communities. And so, you know, when we talk about this systemic racism and the systemic harm that us as black people experience, you know what I'm saying? Just voting is just one of the tools. And like I said, I know it don't fix everything. But
yeah.
And when I talk about making change happen, I am somebody that I would literally tell you that I exhaust all my options. I damn near exhaust all my options. There's some things I haven't done yet that I could do, but we ain't gonna get into that. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you all the options that I've, you know what I'm saying, that I use that as a tool. It's one of the easiest tools, honestly. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's just something to be mindful about, you know what I'm saying? You know, these type of people have to be voted out. These people should never get into elected positions. You know, Breonna Taylor was literally in her bed and she was killed for being in her house, minding her own business. She was asleep.
And that's what she was doing.
Sleep. And somebody decided that it was time to just bust open her door. In an investigation that didn't have anything to do with her, you know? In an investigation where they basically, I mean, it was, you know, same thing with the judges. Her boyfriend was trying to protect her. And, you know what I'm saying, they were basically trying to arrest him for, and charge him with, they tried to charge him with attempted murder.
Yeah.
So these cops in the case, for him firing one shot back, for trying to protect his girlfriend, he's a licensed gun owner. All the things that people like to talk about, you know what I'm saying, you know,
this right.
situation where you really can't find fault with nobody, you know what I'm saying? And you, yet again, you know what I'm saying, there's qualified immunity and people are getting away with things that, you know what I'm saying, basically you only get away with as being, you know what I'm saying, white men and law enforcement. You know, this is, black people are the only people that really honestly deal with this type of treatment. You know what I'm saying? Because justice is not a privilege for black people. You know what I'm saying? It's not one of the privileges we have. So this right here is another example and why we got to keep on fighting as activists and people in the community, you know, and exhaust all the options that we have in our fights for justice. So we got to vote, we got to march, we got to demonstrate, if it's got to be civil disobedience, if we got to run up on City Hall, if we got to keep on pushing for changes in policy, procedures, and protocol. You know, if we got to defund police, if we got to unbundle the police and their services, if we got to
abolish the police,
abolish, dismantle, reimagine. If we got whatever term you feel comfortable using, you know what I'm saying? As long as the goal is to, like, you know what I'm saying, liberate us, you know, we just got to do what we got to do, man. So this is an unfortunate situation. But, you know what I'm saying, you know, my people, we resilient and we going to keep on. But it's sad at the same time because, we shouldn't be having this conversation every week. We, you know, it just shouldn't be happening. That ain't right there. I don't know what people believe in, if y'all believe in God, but, you know what I'm saying, I think we definitely understand that, you know what I'm saying, some of our gods is different than theirs, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything you said. For me, this hurts, you know what I'm saying? It don't hurt no less than all the other, or no more or no less than all of the other situations that's happened, particularly this year. And, you know, I kind of had to sort of check myself even in terms of just, like, fear, because fear is a real thing. And no matter how resilient and how strong we are, which I consider myself to be both of those things, it doesn't keep fear from becoming, from being present or trying to be fully present in my life. And so, you know, I sort of for the last few months had kind of found myself a little fearful about, you know, a lot of different things, like, you know, just kind of getting out and just like being alone, you know what I'm saying? And like there was a point where I wanted to go walking, you know what I'm saying, downtown, but then I was just like, dang, like, what in the world is going on out here? Like, I don't really know if I feel safe to, like, walk by myself. Like, and don't get it twisted. Like, you know what I'm saying? Now, I done took kickboxing classes, and I done took all kinds of self-defense classes, and I read up on self-defense because I'm a woman. And, like, you know, that's some of the things that, like, you kind of have to learn to do. Like, that's what you kind of taught to do. But despite my self-defense, you know, knowledge, you know, I don't always feel like I can protect myself, you know what I'm saying? And so because of that sort of like omnipresent like feeling of fear, it really did keep me from doing stuff and keep me from kind of being just kind of like, you know, myself, because it's just all the stuff that's been happening. And so that's sort of one of the other things that, like, I want to mention to people, like, if you are scared or like you're feeling scared, like, that's okay, you know what I'm saying? Kind of embrace the feeling of like fear and embrace the feeling of feeling scared, and then, you know, take that energy and like channel it, you know, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But like Osiris was, or Bali was mentioning, that every problem has many different approaches, you know what I'm saying? And to get to whatever different approach, you kind of got to take these different paths, or you got to, like he said, get in your toolbox. You may got to use a hammer, you got to use a screwdriver, you know what I'm saying? You got to go to Home Depot, and you got to get, you know, some kind of chemical or something to fix the issue. You got to consult with people that know more about the issue than you, and then you take their ideas and you pull from them, you take your ideas and you put them together, and then, you know, all of that is sort of like coming to your common goal of like fixing this jacked up broken system that we call America. This is great, it's where we all live, and so we're all living here. And we're all trying to like thrive here, but it's not easy for a lot of us. And so we have to exhaust all, like, every tool that, you know, that we can within our power, that's under our fingers, whatever we have access to. Like, that's what I would summon people to do as well. Like, I charge you to do that and to try that and to run to this thing that you feel is like fear, because sometimes like fear is a driving force as well, you know what I'm saying? Like, anytime you're scared about something, like, it gives you a reason to not sort of suffer that same fate. So whatever that thing is that like scares you, like, build it up within yourself to kind of to fight against it. And you know, maybe just maybe, you know, at some point in time, like, we'll see change.
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, we resilient. You know, got to reiterate the fact, man. You know what I'm saying? The family was awarded $12 million for a wrongful death lawsuit last week. This week, the same system said nobody is wrong for her death.
Yeah.
And if that ain't what they call an oxymoron, I mean, I ain't all in the English class like that.
Sure. Yeah.
But if that ain't two opposites, you know what I'm saying? Then I don't never know what I talk about. You know what I'm saying? I just come up with this type of logic out the blue. So
I just want to interject real quick because I do like the English. That oxymoron is a noun, and it's a figure of speech in which apparently is contradictory. A figure of speech in which apparently contradictory terms appear in conjunction.
Already.
That's what an oxymoron is.
Well, you know what I'm saying? That's an oxymoronic phrase to what I just put together. You know what I'm saying? What I did. And you know what I'm saying? All I can say is, you know, the city of Louisville, you know what I'm saying? My thoughts and energy is with the people out there on the front line in the city and with the family and the friends. What happens in that city is a reflection of, you know, the decisions of the people in power to continue to make a mockery of justice, make a mockery of the government and the whole process of investigations and the legal realm of the world. It's you know what I'm saying? That's just a reflection of what it is, because, you know, I think James Baldwin, one of his quotes that, man, just really always keep on continuously hitting me. He said to be a Negro and conscious in America is to be in a constant state of rage. Because you will see situations like this and you want to be hopeful. Black people want to see the light, you know what I'm saying? So this is going to go how it's supposed to go. And to be hopeful and to always continuously be hopeful of something and then turn back around and be hurt by actually believing and hoping for some change. And that's just something that's been conditioned within us, and that's our spirit and our soul. It's like, you know, we've been taught and raised to be, you know what I'm saying, to always believe that trouble don't always last. And you know what I'm saying? And so when we can look at and see the injustice and the corruption and the misconduct and actually, you know, restrain ourselves from doing everything that we want to do and put our faith into the system, and for the system to, you know, constantly prove that they don't really care about, you know what I'm saying, what needs to be done, you know, it's a hurtful thing, you know what I'm saying? And so what happens in Louisville, man, it just happens, man. You know, somebody reached out to me during the George Floyd protests, and it was a young lady from Arizona. She said, "Hey, I follow you on like all your social media, and you got a voice, and I'm just asking you, can you sit there and tell people stop the looting and stop the damage to the property and, you know, and stop all of the violence and all that type of stuff?" And I told her just flat out, I was just like, "Hey, that ain't even my place, man. You know, I care way more about lives than I do about property." And so, you know what I'm saying? I care way more about Black lives than I care about some property. Because, you know what I'm saying, these, you know, people running in Target and Best Buy and burning and looting out of these franchises. They got all the insurance money in the world to rebuild, carry on business as usual. You know, when lives don't resurrect the same type of way, you know, that's not my place to tell people to stop doing any of that stuff, man. You know, take if you feel that power, if you want to use your voice to tell people to stop doing that, then that's cool. Go ahead, do it. That's just not what I'm about. You know what I'm saying? We about some real, you know, we about some real change. And so, you know, Louisville, man, you know, that's why they basically, them going in a state of emergency days before that they even said an announcement was going to be made, because they never announced what day they're going to tell you the investigation is over. They just make the announcement. And they only give they give the press maybe 30 to an hour notice, and then bam, it's all over the world, you know what I'm saying? But it cracks me up, man, that like, and you know, you can literally hop on Twitter and all the people who've never been through any type of police academy, don't have a degree, ain't never studied no ballistics, and ain't never did anything with forensics, and you know, ain't got no job with no law enforcement, ain't got no training, man. We be solving investigations well before they do. You know, we will get on Twitter and we will solve this. We will find out who this woman is. We will find out the officers' names. We will put them. We will find their social media accounts.
Yeah.
We will find it.
People's over here watching 37 seasons of the first 48, so they got you.
Man, we ain't even get our skills from watching first 48, because the majority of their crimes don't even get solved. Man, you watch that. No,
they don't get solved, but they be having them leads, though. It be the leads, not necessarily the solving.
Yeah, but...
And the witnesses and such.
But we don't be hardly having no leads. We see a video, and we be like, Twitter, do your thing.
Definitely.
Somebody find their face, they recognize them, they know where their job is, they got the address.
Yeah.
Numbers. You know, it don't nothing get lost in the iCloud. They found they Make America Great Again post from 2016.
They got their family reunion over there in Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. They found it. It was they find out when OJ was not guilty. They find a comment that was made on MySpace that said OJ did it because he's black.
OJ did it.
Yeah, they find the comment that somebody made on the post. They find the comment where they say black lives don't matter. It's always all lives. They find that comment. They know the profile because the person got a whole set up troll account with a picture of their dog's head as the avatar, as the profile picture. And they find that dog, and then they find the owner of that dog, and then they find that person. And don't nobody investigate harder than Twitter. And it's
black,
your local law.
It's black Twitter. It's black, not Twitter. Regular Twitter. Specifically black Twitter.
And I'm telling you right now that black Twitter can investigate a crime better than your local law enforcement department. They do.
Better a job.
Man, they put out stats about that.
I believe every single word. I believe every single word, because definitely when I get on Twitter, like Twitter, they done been and found the police officers at the grocery store and be done confronted them at doggone Costco and be like, you out here shopping for Oreos after the incidents that happened in your city.
Yes.
And you should be saying, like, they will.
And pull
Black Twitter be
out.
Doing that. Absolutely, and it's viral, and everybody sees it, and it's just, you're absolutely right. I didn't even think about that. Man, that's a good point.
The numbers say that police departments solve 2% of major crimes. Of 2% of major crimes. And that's a stat.
No.
Yes.
2%?
Police departments, go look it up. Police departments solve 2% of major crimes.
What are they doing? Eating donuts all day?
Defund the police. They is playing with your money. They playing with your money over there.
Take your donut money.
Look, they playing with the money.
What? No extra sprinkles for them.
2% of major crimes. That's what it is right there. So, you know what I'm saying? Major, yeah. That's the difference right there. Major crimes. I'm telling you that Twitter is a free app. And it does a better job solving crimes and doing investigations than your local law enforcement department. So
I think that this is another great segue into, you know, I don't want to be that girl. You didn't want to be that guy. And I had this conversation with lots of people all the time. But y'all, like, voting is important, you know. The revolutionary side of me is like, the system is effed up, like burn the whole system to its knees. And like, it's gotta be like biblical, and we gotta see like fire and brimstone. And we want the whole system to just like crumble like the walls of Jericho. I'm just trying to use as many Bible references as I can right now, because I don't know very many. However, I do feel like voting is really important. I do feel like becoming a knowledgeable citizen about how voting works. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might got to go back to civics, like fifth grade civics or whatever grade you took civics in. I never took civics. However, I know that some people didn't. But you may have to go back to, like, what's the schoolhouse thing? What's the schoolhouse? Mm-hmm. Schoolhouse Rocks.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah.
They gotta go back to one of the little cartoons, talk about the bill and how the bills work and how laws work and how policies are implemented and how things sort of just, you know, the process of an election. Finding out what's happening on your ballot, you know, finding out how to contact and reach your current elected officials and see where they stand on certain issues. And once you understand those things, you'll understand the integral part of voting and how all that stuff sort of trickles down into your life as an individual. 'Cause while I feel like community is really important, but I also feel like that each of us has to sort of charge ourselves, you know what I'm saying, with doing our part to eradicating the issue. So for me, you know, one of the goals that I definitely want to commit to is just becoming more knowledgeable about this jacked up political system that people call a democracy, but you know, that's up for debate. But while we're calling it a democracy and people are at least pretending like it's one, you know, we can at least become knowledgeable about the system and how it works. And I think that'll help us make informed decisions with voting. And then the other thing I really want to charge myself and then other people with is, once you become knowledgeable and informed, you know, disseminate the information as best as you can, and like get you a little buddy, you know, get you a partner, whether it's a friend or like, you know, some of these young people who are just turning 18 this year, who are able to vote, who don't freaking understand all of this, you know, legalese and political language and what laws and bills and, you know, what these politicians are saying, you know, find especially those people, like especially this untapped market of 18-year-olds who are turning 18 and who are registered to vote. Those are some people too that you can seek out and take under your wing and help teach them and learn and, you know, help them get involved into politics, into making change, into being the change early, so that by the time they get to your age, you know what I'm saying, they aren't confused and having to go back and watch cartoons so they can know how to vote. So that's my two cents.
Already. Real, man, it's real.
Yeah, it's definitely real. And then once again, as you mentioned, you know, our heart and our thoughts and our prayers, you know, go out to Breonna Taylor's family. And you know what? The families of all the other fallen Black people who died at the hands of police brutality, or who died at the hands of a hate crime as it relates to, you know, racism. In this moment, like right now in the present and in the past, you know what I'm saying, victims of lynchings who for the last year and a half have really been memorialized at many different places around the country. Our thoughts and our prayers and our, you know, and our hearts go out to them as well. Because as we know, Black bodies have been suffering in this country since we have come to this country. And it is not lost on me. That issue and that problem is not lost on me. And my heart and my thoughts go out to all of those people who have died at the hands of systematic racism in America. Mm-hmm. So it's a heavy episode. That's all I got. I'm tired right now. I'm exhausted. So I don't have anything else to say. Any final words for you?
Hey, man, I just say go out, activate your voice. Man, if the question with you is like, man, what can be done to fix this? You know what I'm saying? I just say, hey, man, think about, you know, the younger generation. Think about, you know what I'm saying, the future. We are living in, this is 2020, man. It's crazy, man. It's a pandemic. It's an election year. You know what I'm saying? We're in the midst of protests happening daily all around the nation. And, you know, we got to do something about this right here. A woman was literally murdered in her sleep. And after months of asking for an investigation finally was started. And now this investigation has said that this woman who was in her sleep minded her own business. And the only charges that came back were for a bunch of bullets that missed her. Think about that. You know what I'm saying? The only charge that we talking about literally right now is wantonly endangerment. All the bullets that missed her, this is what the officer is getting charged with, because it's a wrongful death investigation and a woman's family is being awarded millions of dollars for wrongful death. And this lethal use of force is justified. And only charges that are out there right now is for the officer. One of the three officers is getting a charge for not shooting all of his bullets at Breonna Taylor. This is something to marinate on, all right? So,
definitely.
That's all I got to say, man. This as a matter of a Black man. I'm you know what I'm saying, sign it out like that for myself.
Definitely. Well, I guess Until next time, y'all, stay black.
Peace.